What is TWS podcast episode, whatever, who cares at this point?
The rants with the vindicated.
It's my podcast and I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is this still live?
It's not working for me, Rich. We're gonna keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
When ready.
I feel like the end is
staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn, they ain't ready.
Oh man. All right. So yeah, welcome back. It's been a long time, but this is another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. I'm a roll solo tonight. I am your boy Jay Flan, and I just want to apologize for starters for the long gap between episodes. It's been so much going on, so many things happening that I just couldn't do it for a while, but we're back. I think, officially back. I'm in the right space, and I want to start getting back to doing the podcast. It's definitely something I love doing. I love talking to the people. I love sharing my story. So, yeah, I'm excited to get back to work. So, I apologize for being gone for so long, but I am back, and I ain't leaving again. Hopefully. I don't know. Hey. So I think now is like the perfect time. So many, I was just looking at this weekend and just, everything that's going on. And I just got a lot to talk about now. So no time like the present to get back in it. Man, I got like a quick outline. You know me, I'm not one for structure. So I'm looking at all the stuff I wrote down to talk about. I'm just like, don't even know where to start. But I just started at the top of the list. I wanted to make everybody aware of the new Rhapsody album. Like, I really am becoming a huge Rhapsody fan. I think, like, yeah, she's, like, super dope. Creeping up on my list of current MCs, probably, definitely in my top 10 current MCs, maybe my top 5. She's just that dope. And that album is really, it really got, really inspired. Once you hear somebody doing, a thing that you used to do when they're doing it well, it gets you back in that creative space. It gets you back in that kind of like wanting to be a part of shit again. So I think that's probably another reason why I'm back with the podcast. Man, alright, I guess the big news from this weekend is our president. I had the idea. I told Rich about it. Like, I wanted to put like something on the website that like now they had those signs that say, number of days since the last accident. I think we need to have a counter for like the number of days since the last like Trump Twitter implosion or whatever. I don't know. And for a while, it seemed like he was on a good streak of like not fucking up for a considerable amount of time. And then I don't know. Maybe I wasn't paying attention. Maybe I was too into my personal shit that I wasn't seeing the stuff he was doing. And then this weekend, all of a sudden, it's like he just decided like maybe he'd been holding back too long. He was like tensing the muscle. I gotta say some dumb shit. Like, I haven't said no dumb shit in a long time. That shit is building up. So I think it started with the Steph Curry shit. Like, Steph Curry say that he would vote not to go to the White House, which prompted our immature, insecure president to respond with rescinding the invitation to the Warriors to the White House. It's just, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how it must feel to be this hated, like to be this unpopular. I mean, clearly he has a base that like loves him and loves him unconditionally. And I've discussed it before on the podcast. Like, I don't even know so much if it's the fact that they love him and they really do agree with him, or that things have become so divisive that like they gotta stay on their side of the fence right now. Like, we've shoved them into this corner with him, and y'all are all idiots and deplorables and all that shit that we said. And now it's like, we've given them no out to kind of get out of this without admitting that they fucked up horrifically. But yeah, I mean, there are people that stand behind him. But clearly, like, after he tweeted the shit about rescinding the Warriors invite, it's just like, once again, the world jumped up. Like, Trump saying, you know, dumb stuff again. And everybody started tweeting back. I think Kobe had a good one. I forget what it was. The first one I saw was LeBron with, you know, calling him a bum and telling him, you know, it used to be an honor to go to the White House before you got there. And then other people started responding. I think the Warriors have said that they're now, they're going to make a trip to D.C., but, you know, not going to the White House. I mean, I guess the invitation been rescinded, but whatever. But then to make so, like, as if, you know, that shit wasn't bad enough, then I caught wind of the whole NFL thing. And so I guess he was actually are we not, like taken back by the fact the dude has not been in office for a year and he's, like, already campaigning for his next term? Like, he keeps holding these rallies and shit. Like, I need to go back and do some research or something and see if this is something previous presidents have done. Like, they campaign while they're in all, like, early in office, like, way before we even at the end of the first term. Like, we're not really fully into it this term. We're still debating on when this impeachment gonna happen or something, you know. But this dude is already campaigning. But he's at a campaign rally, and for whatever fucking reason, the NFL comes up or something, and, you know, he makes the comment that players that don't stand for the anthem or disrespect the flag or the anthem should be, you know, owners should stand up and release these guys. I think he actually said, get the sons of bitches off the field, you're fired. And so that caused a backlash. So, you know, I'm a huge fantasy football player, so Sunday was going to be my football day. But more than that, it was because I sucked this week. Like, I had one of my worst fantasy weeks ever. I'm in five leagues this year, and I'm pretty sure I lost all five. I lost in all five leagues. Never experienced anything like that. And but, you know, I got to bounce back. I'll be back. So today was more about me watching the games to see, like, what teams are going to do in response to Trump and his bullshit. And all of this backlash to what Trump had to say, like, and this is, like, national. Like, this was the whole, I mean, I guess in the spread go globally, because we had the game in London this morning, and they were protesting over there, you know, in response to, you know, Trump's comments. And then all the games here in the U.S., you know, you have players either, you know, showing solidarity and linking arm, like, doing something to say, like, we heard you, and you know, it ain't going down like that. But when you had this kind of widespread, like, we don't like you, it keeps making me wonder, like I'm not a conspiracy theory dude, but is there some, like, legitimacy to these Russia tampering claims? Who elected this dude? Like, nobody. Like you hear, like, whatever group was at that speech, like, clapping when he said this shit, and then, like, the rest of the country saying, like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, how did that room elect this dude when the rest of the country is like, nah? I mean, I really get the feeling there was so many of us that were like, there's no way this was gonna happen. Like, it doesn't take me to prevent this from happening. And then on his side, his people were like, it's not gonna happen unless I get involved. And it's like every one of them knew that they were vital and they had to participate in order to get, you know, to get their candidate to win. And we got cocky and was like, nah, there's no way this shit's happening. You know, whether or not I vote or not, or whether or not I come out or not, like, the world is not this crazy. And it was fucking wrong. And here we are. But it made for, you know, I told, you know, people who didn't even like football, like, just get your popcorn, you know, get your popcorn ready, watch these anthems, see what the players do, see what their reaction is of the commentators. And I didn't watch as much as I should, you know, I wanted to, so I could, you know, have this conversation. But I was happy. I was actually proud of the Redskins. I was really questioning what they were going to do, because, you know, that game was being played in DC, like, with those players had the balls to do something, and they did as well. I mean, I think, you know, like, the majority of the Oakland team sat on the bench during the anthem. We had a couple people kneel. Everybody locked arms. Yeah, but whatever. It's just like, man, you wonder, like, how much longer this is gonna go. Like, You know, because this was not, of all the stuff that he's done, and this bothers me also. Like, we get so outraged about, like, the dumb shit that he does. Like, it's just dumb. Like, it's not like the end of the world. It was just dumb. And it is divisive, and it lends to this bigger gap, you know, between us right now. But in the context of the bigger things that he's doing, like, this ain't the one that we need to spend a whole day with televised protests being upset about. Like, this was like, it's like we get in the low hanging fruit. Like, we do the easy shit, but it's like he's doing way worse things that seem to, like, I don't know, disappear after a while. But then, like, the whole world reacted to a comment about a game that I love. Like, don't get me wrong, I love the NFL, and I don't necessarily on a weekly basis look at it as just a game. It's a part of my life. It's a part of my wife's life. It's part of my daughter's life. Like, it is a part of the way I live. But at the end of the day, it's a game. And if we're going to talk about what he does and his impact on the world, his comments on the NFL, to me, like, who gives a fuck? Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't tune in to Fox to hear what Trump thought about the Redskins game. But whatever, I don't know. Also in the sports world, that's got me a little perplexed. Melo goes to OKC. Melo is on the Thunder, like, on the heels of KD making his comments about the roster and how they just weren't built to succeed. You know, all of a sudden now we got we got Russ, Paul George, and Melo on the same squad. My question is, I could have sworn that PG and Melo were both three. They both played the three. So it's like, is Melo gonna move to the two? Is somebody coming off the bench? Like, it seems like they got if you're gonna get two stars to come join your team, you don't get two stars to play the same position. And maybe I'm wrong. Like, I could have sworn they both played small forward. Like, they both played the three. Maybe I can see Melo playing the two, but I'm confused. I don't know. Whatever. That's not important. All right. I wanted to get that out of the way because I felt like that was the relevant shit. Like, that's what happened this weekend. The stores. That's what people will probably be talking about tomorrow when I post this. So yeah, I wanted to talk about Trump, the Warriors, the NFL, Melo, all that stuff. Let's talk about what's been going on with me and what actually has, like, halted the podcast for so long. I've lost track of how long it's been. I really have. Rich and I have been in the studio, and we've recorded a couple of episodes, and for whatever reason, it didn't get posted or didn't get edited. You know, some of it's on me, some of it's, you know, just time constraints. I don't know, I just haven't been into it, and I don't know, Just a lot is going on. One, I guess on a positive note, I started a new job. And some of the podcasts that we've recorded in the interim since, you know, we disappeared, we fell off the face of the fucking earth. I talked about, you know, how unhappy I was at the job that I had. And I've talked about, you know, how a lack of leadership can really... I don't know, it just can really lead to a miserable existence as an employee. I had a great manager, I had a horrible supervisor, and I don't know. I just want to say to anybody out there who is responsible for other, who has subordinates underneath them, that have employees, that, you know, If you're a manager, and I used to be a manager, I'm not saying this like as the employee who just thinks he can do the job better than his boss, but if you're a manager, you have to realize that you are successful. You make your name off of the success of the people underneath you. You cannot be successful if those people aren't also successful. So you have a vested interest in their success. You should be trying to make your folks look as good as possible, because when they look good, you look good. And it's impossible for you to look good without them. It's impossible. You're responsible. You're going to be held accountable for their failures, and you're also going to receive the credit for a lot of their successes. You know, that's the gift and the curse of management. But that means you can't be berating your folks, and you can't be throwing them under the bus and sending them to the wolves, because at the end of the day, that doesn't translate to success for you. It just looks like you can't manage your people. It looks like you can't take care of your people. That you've lost control down there. If people keep fucking up and you keep being the one to bring it to light, either you're putting them in bad situations, or you don't know how to give proper instructions or guidance, or you're not. Yeah, I mean, it's on you. I don't want to get into too much. You know, I feel like I'm going too far into that, you know, that situation. But at the end of the day, I got a new job. I'm working someplace else now, and I really do like my manager here. I think, you know, this guy, he gets it. And, you know, he's to the point, he's direct, but he definitely gets that, you know, he needs us, and he needs to provide us with whatever it is we need so that we can provide him with what it is he needs. And he seems to definitely be a team first, and it's us, and it's all, and sometimes you got to have that us against the world mentality. I used to foster that in any group that I had, you know, some sort of influence on. That us against the world mentality. And I don't mean it to be like divisive in the company. Like, you know, I'm just going to use divisive throughout the entire podcast. Get used to it. But I don't, you know, like, you know, our group is better than their group. We don't fuck with them or whatever. But it's just like, you have to look at it as we all we got. You know, we gotta take care of each other. And if you can foster that kind of family, you know, us against the world environment. You'll have a team that'll come together and do amazing things because nobody lets anybody else fall, and everybody is invested in everybody else. And it, you know, I wish I could be one of those people that like goes around the companies and gives speeches about, you know, how to properly manage your employees, because I think I have so much good information. I believe I do, you know, and I believe that if you have information that you think other people need, it's your duty to put it out there. So here I am. Here I am back on the podcast talking just to be talking, because I feel like I got shit to say. You should listen. Enjoy. All right, new job. Let's see. The household is just getting over another round of the stomach virus. My daughter is bringing home like just a horrible germs or whatever viruses, and you know, and of course, like it runs its course with her in 24 hours, and then my wife and I are sick for the rest of the year. I don't know. It really hit me hard, but I had one of those proud daddy moments, and that was another one of the situations that was kind of pulling me out of the hole I was in. I got the new job, and that kind of lifted my spirits a little bit. And then I have been having like some successful daddy moments, so. I tell you a story. One of the original members of the White Pants Society, my homie Easy Tiger, is leaving the country. Well, has left the country. I think he should be in the Netherlands right now. And we were heading to his going away party. You know, my wife, my daughter, and I. And we're on the way there. And my wife and I are actually like arguing about, like, I think she's like a helicopter mom. You know, we got a new car seat, and with the new car seat, it's so much seat, like it's just so much shit back there that, you know, from the front of the car, you can't see her like you used to be able to see her, and it's, you know, and that's like bugging my wife out. She like reaching her arm back there, and like gotta know, like she needs signs of life, like constantly, like baby's alive, baby's alive, baby's alive, and for whatever reason, that irks me. And we were at that point having a conversation about like she's all right, like. I tend to assume she's all right unless I know something is wrong, and like it seems like my wife seems to assume something is wrong unless she knows she's all right. And, you know, we were having that kind of discussion, and then, you know, in the middle of that discussion, you know, baby starts coughing, cough sounds start to sound juicy, and they start turning to gurgles, and you know, it was clear that she was back there throwing up. And you know, thank God we were right outside of a Walgreens. So we turned into the Walgreens, you know, in the parking lot, and I get out the car because I'm the throw up guy. Like, we made this agreement before our daughter was born that my wife will handle all the shit. Like, she handles all the feces and I handle vomit. Right? And those are our lanes. It don't necessarily pan out that way because I've changed a lot of shitty diapers. Oh. That's how you know the show is real, people. Playing music on my phone, knocked it over. Give me a sec. We're gonna be back. Man, I don't know how to unlock the phone. It's crazy. All right, anyway, while I'm working on that, where was I in the store? Right. So I'm getting out the car because I gotta go back there and, you know, assess this situation. And when I open the door, here we go, and we're back. All right. So when I open the door, it's one of the most disgusting scenes I ever seen. I mean, this is why I talk about, like, being a parent, just being like, it's just gross all the time. We have fed my daughter a bean and cheese taco for breakfast that morning, I have food aversions, and beans are like one of the foods that I just, in their normal non-regurgitated state, beans are gross to me. They look disgusting. It's those refried beans, it's like black, purplish mush. I don't understand how y'all eat them and think they just delicious, but whatever. We feed it to my daughter. And so coming up, it looked, let me describe it this way for you. You remember The Sixth Sense? There's a scene in The Sixth Sense where the little kid is doing like a tent fort or something in the house, and one of the ghosts appears in there. And when he first sees the little girl, like, she's throwing up, and she's not like throwing up where it's like projectile, but she's throwing up where she's just still, and just vomit is just oozing out of her mouth, you know, going down her chin. Like, that's, if you've seen that movie and you can remember that scene, like, this is what I encounter when I open the door. Like, she's just sitting in the chair. She kind of has that, you know, that helpless, like, help me, daddy, why is this happening look. But, like, shit is just oozing out of her mouth, and it's just purple and thick and sticky. And I don't, you know how they say God helps women forget the pain of childbirth so that they'd be willing to do it again? I think in this situation, like, God took away my sense of smell, because if I had smelled that stuff when I opened that car door, I don't know if I would have been able to continue. But luckily for me, I had Tammy, you know, I guess didn't want to see it because she has the vomit aversion, so she wasn't paying that close attention to me. But I paused. I opened the door, and my daughter's looking helpless, and she's gurgling, and the shit is running out of her mouth, and she probably really needed to get out that seat so we could get her cleaned up and, you know, make sure she don't choke on it and all that. But I paused. I paused because this was, I was just disgusted. And I had to literally out loud say, Jared, you can do this. And I reached in, all that shit is the only word I can come up with for it. And I got her out. And it's just amazing to me. Like, if you had asked me, like, if you had given me the scenario and said, what do? I don't know that I don't have like a plan in my head, like, this is, okay, I'm gonna get her out of the seat and I'm gonna do this. But in that moment where I knew, like, my wife, because of her, you know, her vomit aversion, was kind of no help, that I was gonna have to take the lead here and gonna have to figure this out. We're in the moment and we gotta get out the moment. Like, you know, daddy instincts just kicked in. And I was like, all right, I got the baby. Let me get her out these clothes, you know, all the clothes in the bag. All right, get me the clothes out the bag. You go in the store, you know, get some cleaning products and stuff so we can, you know, wipe the seat down, you know, get her cleaned up and get her home. And I kind of was calling the plays and facilitating stuff, and I was able, you know, to get her out the clothes with the purple goop on them. And really, you know, luckily for me, it wasn't until I got my daughter out the clothes, got her in some clean stuff. And, you know, I was able to, you know, pick her up and hold her and kind of make her feel better. Like, it's okay, baby. Like, that's the point where the smell hit me. Because had it hit me at any point earlier, like, I don't know that I could have, like, touched the stuff, knowing what it looked like, felt like, and it stank. Like, it would have been too much. It would have been sensory overload. I would have froze up. But luckily, smell didn't hit me until I had already taken care of the situation. But that was, like, a good daddy moment for me. Like, I was really proud of myself for being able to like, react in the situation. That was dope. So, yeah, that made, you know, things. That was one of the events that kind of pulled me out of the little rut that I've been in. And because the main thing, and this is kind of what I want to talk about for the rest of the podcast, like I'm a relationship guru, but doesn't mean I'm good at my own relationships. And my marriage has been going through a lot. Hopefully my wife doesn't get too upset with me talking about all this. But I think, you know, some of what I have to say should be meaningful for a lot of people. And again, like I said, I feel like, you know, if you have information that you think other people could benefit from, you know, you're obligated to share it. And that was the whole point of this podcast. And that's what I'm getting ready to do. I said, yeah, we've been having marital problems. You know, and most of it, I will say, is my fault. And but, you know, me kind of backing away from the podcast in order to address my family issues is the thing that I want to kind of highlight. Like, you know, we tend to say things to our significant others like, you know, you mean the world to me. You're the most important thing in the world to me. You're the best thing that ever happened to me. You know, I love you more than anything. And then in those times where it's time to show that this is the number one thing, that this is the most important thing in the world to you, that you love this thing more than anything, we sometimes don't. We don't do that. You know, we're like, nah, you know. Your relationship is failing, or your wife or your significant other is unhappy, and you're like, man, you need to snap out of it and find a way to be happy, because we got this other stuff to do, and I got this on my plate and I got that on my plate, and you know, trying to get this business off the ground, trying to make this happen and trying to make this happen for us, and be like, you know, this situation needs to fix itself because I don't have the time or the bandwidth to step away from my other stuff to put my full focus, you know, here. And in this moment, and I'm not saying that was like the conscious decision, but when I look back on it, like, you know, that's kind of what had to happen. I had to say that if this is the most important thing in the world to me, like, this other stuff, like, loses all of its importance. So, you know, the idea of prepping for a podcast and recording and posting and doing promo and stuff, like, all of that, as much as it had been like the center of my universe for almost a year now, it went away in a heartbeat. And everything was, you know, I gotta figure out, you know, how to fix this, if I can fix this, you know what needs to be done. Like, I'm not gonna be able to focus on being successful in this other arena of my life when the most important arena of my life is falling apart. And I think a lot of what's given my relationship the importance, and this is the thing I'm kind of struggling with right now. Like, a lot of what's given my relationship the importance that it has right now has been the addition of my daughter. You know, and I'm trying to reconcile that in my head and reconcile that, you know, for my wife. Like, it's not so much that I didn't love her as, you know, my wife as much as I do now. Before, she wasn't as important, but it's like the stakes just got raised so drastically now that my daughter is around. It is far easier for me to make these decisions to change and to be different, or to act differently, or to put forth an effort in places where I probably didn't put forth an effort before, because to me the stakes just rose so dramatically. And like I said, I'm struggling with reconciling that. Like, Am I saying I care more about my daughter than I care about my wife? Or I didn't care about my wife until I had my daughter? Like what is, what's the rationale behind that? And I don't know that I figured it out, but I know that I love my wife. I know I love my wife with all my heart, and I don't know what I'd do without her. And you know, if it meant I had to back away from some things, so that I could find a way to, you know, to get us to a better place, then that's what I had to do. And you know, and I say a lot of this because I've been having discussions with guys about, you know, relationships. I told you we had like that proven ground thing on Facebook, and a lot of times we talk about relationships and just, you know, in my conversations in the past with other dudes and you know, friends, and just, you know, the conversations we've had about women and that kind of stuff. Like, I want to say this to guys, and I want to preface it by saying I'm not the manhood police. There are no negative consequences to disagreeing with me. You don't have to like what I say. You don't have to agree with what I say. I'm not gonna come get you. I can't strip you or your man card. None of that. Like, this is just my opinion, and I'm sharing it because I think it might be beneficial to somebody. So if you don't agree, you don't agree. You know, and that's cool. I love it. Like, whatever. Like, do you, enjoy your life, be happy. But, you know, it came up in one of our conversations about, like, kind of like being responsible for your significant other's feelings. And there was a question, like, we got to the point where we got to the question, like, am I responsible for how she feels about something? And in my mind, to a certain extent, yes. Whether or not you really are responsible, I think you should feel responsible, and you should feel some sort of responsibility toward whatever role you play in how, you know, he or she feels. Because, ladies, you can take this advice too. But you know, well, I'm speaking mostly to dudes because I'm a dude, and I don't know how y'all think. Y'all are crazy. But like, I really want guys. I'm hard on my wife, like, in my mind, and the things I expect of her, and, you know, and when I say something and she takes it out of context or reads too much into what I said, or you know, because I'm quiet, thinks something's wrong and is panicking. Like, I'm hard on her in terms of, I'm like, you know, you need to think logically, you need to know, you know, all I said was this and blah, blah, blah. You know, I get real, you know, man logic, like, you bugging kind of stuff. But I think what I have to start doing is being just as hard on myself, and being just as scrutinize my own actions just as much as I scrutinize my wife's actions. You know, it's one thing for me to say something and then her take it the wrong way. But how many times does she have to take it the wrong way before I get the point that I think I'm saying this and that's not what she's hearing? So maybe I need to find a different way to say it. You know what I mean? Like, I think we get caught up too much in this whole, you know, logic thing, and we're logical beings, and this makes sense and that doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to keep doing the same thing, you know, knowing that your message isn't getting across. Don't make sense to keep saying the same thing and then be like, I don't understand why you didn't understand when I said. She never understood. Your past girlfriend didn't understand. One before that didn't understand. They all read your actions almost the same way, and you keep acting like they wrong. You know what I mean? Like, I want us to scrutinize ourselves and our own actions as much as we scrutinize the actions of the people that we're with. I think we got to start understanding that in communication, the burden of making sure the message gets across is always on the messenger. It is your job to make sure you're delivering a message that, you know, can't be easily misinterpreted, that you're speaking the right language, that you're using, that you're getting your point across. If you're not getting your point across, you can't blame the receiver. You didn't effectively deliver that message. I think too many times we know we're being ineffective in the way we're delivering messages. We know that we're saying things without saying them, that our actions are saying things that our words didn't say. And because we didn't say the words, we want to get angry, or we want to blame the person, or we want to tell that person that you're now at fault for the message you received. When you consciously knew, you know, you had some understanding of the information that you was passing forward. And that's all I wanted. Like, when I say whether you are responsible for your partner's feelings, I feel like you should feel some sort of responsibility there for making sure that whatever it is you're trying to put out there, however it is you feel, whatever it is that's going on, the reality that you understand, that that message gets across. And you can't just say I said it if you know that that's not what they heard. Yeah, microphone is dropping on. Mike might be telling me I ain't like that message. I don't know, but that's how I feel. I feel like we really gotta like man up. We really gotta man up and be these people that protect and take care of people that we say we care about. And that means more than just providing financially or being strong enough to protect. It also means that when somebody puts their heart in your hands, that you are a caregiver, that you take care of that you take that trust that you've been given, and you care enough to take care of that person's heart. Because you know you're doing the same thing, you know, when you reach that point where you're not just, you know, being the playboy or whatever, and you find that girl that means something to you, you know, in a certain sense, you putting your heart in her hands. And if she was to do, you know, some shit like, oh, I never told him it was exclusive, like, you know what I mean, like, you know, to some of the shit that you say, what you do, if it was to come back on you, how I would feel. So I'm just saying, be a little bit more respectful, be a little bit more responsible. And we can't hold on to these immature notions of, you know, I ain't say that, you know, I didn't, you know, that's not what I told you. Communication, what do they say? I forget the percentage of it, but so much of it is nonverbal. And we know this, like, we're smart enough, you know, at this age, you know, maybe, you know, for these young boys, let them live in that world. But, you know, for people my age, for us guys now, like, you know what you're doing. You know what you said, you know what you didn't say, you know what it meant. Even if you don't know what she took from it, you know that there's a chance it was misunderstood. You know that you left enough of a space in the meaning there that somebody could fill that with whatever they wanted to. So we gotta be more responsible. We gotta care a little bit more. That's my sermon for this afternoon. I'm done. And you know what the really, like, funny fucked up thing is that I'm about to do is, I figured, you know, I'm listening to the Rhapsody album. I'm remembering, you know, my love for rap and the art form of rhyming. And so I was on my phone and I found like some old tracks of me and my boys, and I was like, you know, I'm gonna finish the podcast out with one of my old songs. And the song that I picked is like so the opposite of every motherfucking thing I just said. Like, it's really on some pimp shit. But this was me when I was like in my 20s. So this was me on a young boy. You just heard from the older man that, you know, cleans up vomit and shit like that. So I don't know. Agree, disagree. Let's talk about it. Let's have a conversation. Like I said, I'm not the manhood police. There's no consequences to you disagreeing with me. But I enjoy having conversations with people about it. So if you feel some kind of way, say something, be heard. But other than that, it's a lot of darkness out there, people. The light is back, motherfucker. Be the light. All right, peace. All right, so as promised, this is my man Big G featuring myself and another dude by the name of Showtime, I believe his name was. It's a track called Church. Don't judge me.
Yeah. Hey, it's Pimp J or motherfucker Mike, you know what I'm talking about. You know, and I got this motherfucker pimping in my blood since I came out of the womb, you know. The pimping's in my blood, you know. My gator stay clean, never catch me stepping in mud, you know what I'm talking about. My pimping is long and my pimping is strong. You ain't some hoes about me, my pimping going all night long, you know. In the morning when you sleeping, my pimping is just speaking, you know what I'm talking about. My pimping be just motherfucking speak all day. I used to pimp in the high school hallway, you know what I'm talking about. Cause I'm a motherfucking pimp, you better ask me about me. I got that motherfucking glass right up on my motherfucking finger. I ain't no fake pimp like the ones you see on the spring, you know what I'm talking about. I got
When I pull up in that Choco, Monte Carlo with that car load, and we hop up with them bottles. If you can't keep up, please follow. Cause we throttling with models in. What it down to do with that all depend. How much you wanna, how much you tipping? Benny Hunters, clucking chicken, ducking pigeon, feed the fuck, treat, eat, be skeet them up. You can weed her up, you can get her drunk, you can spend a bench just to get a pump, but I ain't the one. Or the last, prick the pussy, I show my ass. I trick the pussy, I show the cash. I'ma smoke the purple, she'll roll the grass. Yep, it's him, Big Slim, 6G about dividend. Thicker green, no fifth of rim. You can best believe we gon' get it in. And if she a 10, she can roll with me. But no dope for me, it's so hope for me. I'm a focus G, pimp flow to me. She can smoke with me, that's how it's supposed to be. Tie rope to me, cause I'm off the chain. This ain't a freestyle, I'm off the brain. I bought the pain, keep the pleasure, enforce the gain. Pressure, the preacher steps up, the speaker's blessed up, to speak the lesson to be free for pressed up. She need to breakfast, see me get dressed up, make it to a star from a freak that's messed up.
Church, down on L Street, Gay Street, you better ask about my motherfucking rap. How you think I got all these pretty ass diamonds on my neck, you know? I ain't never had a motherfucking check, I just got plenty of respect, you know what I'm talking about, so you know? I'm cold on the hoe, real hard, every day I pull the bitch card, you know what I'm talking about? I ain't got no problem with smacking a bitch, Chinese, Asian, or black ass bitch, you know what I'm talking about, so. Motherfucker, sometimes I might smack a white hoe, and I might put that bitch on the track, and I call her all night hoe. You know what I'm talking about?
Flying so sick, nigga came up. Now my game thick like Spanish chicks. Better with age, imagine my display. I was just a teen with a crayon on my wrist. But it's not too impressive, I never flash cash. Cards in the wallet, large deposits. Count getting brawled to the pores like a faucet. I'm trying to break it all in, hand over fists. Bam over chicks, y'all pursue them. I move and confuse them, damn it's a gift. How I do them, maneuver them, got them goosing. Like who's that with flan in the whip? My new one, damn it's a trip. Watch some dudes, just hand them the chips. Just a glance at the hips, trying to copper feel like Copperfield. And those magic tricks, looking for a house like Magic's crib. I'm trying to go out like Magic did with a tragic end. But I never slipped, though you never met a dude that's half as slick. No average spit, classic mastered it. Swagger is hazardous, no accident. Coast is this potent, somebody planned for this. Higher calling, I ain't balling, I acquire often. And you can hate, you need the jaws of life to pry them off from. I keep it wrapped up, I eat the tracks up. Keep the trap stuff, I bleed the rap stuff. And if I get time, then I beat the backs up. I'm paper chasing, tell these freaks to catch up. Church.
Bitch don't go in till the sun go down. I pimp a bitch if she yellow, white, or motherfucking brown. I don't give a fuck if a Martian bitch came down from the moon. I pimp that bitch from December to June. You know what I'm talking about? Cause I'm a motherfucking pimp, man. You better motherfucking ask yourself. Ain't nobody but motherfucking bitch to pick my pimping. My dick big and I got a cane. That's why I'm motherfucking limping. You know what I'm talking about? Cause all types of motherfucking gators, from white to motherfucking brown. Pimp from down all the way to uptown. You know what I'm talking about? Son?
I'm a pimp, I be tricking hoes in the shit bit on 24s. Popping bottles of rose mo. When I'm smoking, no plenty dro. My shoulders bringing me paper. I'm draped up and slamming doors in the caddy. Me and Miss Sally, who gladly give me the throat. Give me no the talking, thumb. But I bet you notice me. Diamonds the color potpourri. Haters, they get so mad to see women flocking all over me. But I do it eagerly, pimping these bitches easily. See the way they be feeding me. Geeking to spend a week. But I keep my hoes in rotation. Either they love it or hate it. I'm about my bacon, no mistaking. When they hit the streets, look at all these J's that I'm facing. Why'd I be counting these faces? My bitches working their faces and going down on me. But I keep a sexy little diva. Guaranteed you net when you see her. She gotta fuck me good features. Turn you from strong to weak. She had you moving and screaming. Otherwise my pockets be singing. Look at all this dough that she bringing. Like I hit the lottery.
Church. I'm pimping the motherfucking go-go. If the world was a matrix, I'd be pimping in slow-mo. You know what I'm talking about, son? You better ask the motherfucking pimping Ken. I pimp off the Remy, I pimp off the gin. And I know pimping is sin, but I pimp hard. And if I go to heaven, I pimp up there with God. You know I'm about for the motherfucking power and the money. I'm pimping hard and serious, cause this shit ain't funny. You know, pimping Jane out on record.